The life of the founder, Jesus, is in the life of the follower, you and me. Amazing. Jesus said in John 14, 23, if anyone loves me, not professes to love me, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Well, it's great to have you tuning in today for Pastor Bill's continuing study in the Epistle of 1 John. From Pastor's teaching today, we'll learn the evidence of real love according to God's Word. It's a thought-provoking study, no doubt. Now, Pastor Bill.
You know, 1 John is so really a unique epistle. I mean, it's one of the last letters, actually, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, Revelation, all penned by John in the Word of God. And, you know, of course, John is old now. He's 90, maybe. He's probably 100 years old. He's the last living apostle. He's the last one who walked with Jesus in the flesh, who talked with Jesus in the flesh, who handled him. Just think about that. All the other apostles, they have now been martyred, okay? And he's writing to the readers scattered all around the area of Ephesus, and he's writing to every generation of believers. This morning, we're going to talk about real love. Now, we've talked about real fellowship. We've talked about what it really means to have real intimacy with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we know the theme of John that we have chosen in chapter 5, verse 20, that reads this way. And we know the Son of God has come and given us, the Christian, given us an understanding that we may know him. That word know is gnosko, not gnosis. Gnosis is knowledge in the Greek. Gnosko is experiential knowledge, that we can experience our Lord, that we can experience God our Father and experience the Holy Spirit. Amen? As we walk with him so that we can know him. And he's given us that understanding that we can know him who is real or true, and that we're in him who is true, his son Jesus Christ. And this is the true or the real God, the eternal life. So the real life that we have. No Christian, no person, we cannot experience real life, real fellowship, real love until you have the real one living in your heart. Amen? And then you're born from above. You become partakers of his divine nature. Now, look at verse 3 with me, because you're going to see a test here by the Holy Spirit of God that we're all going to take this morning, probably one of the most important tests we can take. And it literally, he says, by this we know that we know him. In other words, John is saying, are you really the real deal? Boy, that's a very important question. So with all that being said this morning, let's look at verse 3 and begin our study. It says, now by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. So the word by this is literally in this we know, okay? So again, the word know is gnosko. So by this we know, experience intimacy with our Lord, if we keep his commandments. Now, that's how we know that we know him. Now, gnosko is different, okay? Again, experiential knowledge. So, you know, heart knowledge is when you have the living Word of God is alive in your heart. Amen? It's not head knowledge. All of us have head knowledge. In other words, we have facts about our Lord. Amen? But that's not what this is talking about here. And I feel certain, as I told the early service, I would say, wouldn't you say that nearly every person in the United States knows something about Jesus Christ? Now, whether it's true or not, at least they know Jesus Christ, the name. Amen? Would you agree with me? Okay, but does that mean that they know him? Does it mean they are born again? No. Listen, you know, I know a lot about President Trump. You know a lot about President Trump, okay? You know, the way he combs his hair, all the rest of whatever he really does. I'm not being critical about that. Don't email me. But I don't know him. See, I know about him. I have a lot of facts. Maybe a lot of them are false. I don't know, but I have a lot of facts about President Trump. But I have never met him. I have never sat down at a dinner table and broken bread with him. I don't know really anything about him. Amen? So that right there is just gnosis. It's just having a bunch of knowledge. It's not heart knowledge. Now, listen very carefully. Look at that scripture again. By this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Would you say there is a huge difference between knowing the commandments of the Lord and keeping his commandments? Boy, there's a big difference, isn't it? See, again, all of us have head knowledge. You know, every Christian, we have a lot of facts, and they're true facts. You know, Jesus died. He was buried, and he rose, and he's ascended, and so forth. Amen? We have all of that down. But we know that we know him, not just facts here, but that gnosko, where we experience that daily intimacy with our Lord. So let me ask you a question. This is important. I ask myself the same question. Anytime I prepare a sermon, I'm asking myself this first, not you. I hear it before you hear it. Is that a deal? Okay. So question, how real is God our Father to you? How real is Jesus Christ our Savior to you? Do you know him? How well do you know him? Gnosko is experiencing him. How well do you know him? I mean, do you know Jesus from very close up? An intimacy? Or do you know Jesus from a distance, if you will? In other words, like distant cousins. You know, I have cousins that I have never met. I mean, I know their names. I couldn't tell you where they live. Are you following me? But are they part of my family? Yes. But I don't know. If I sat down and met them at the Waffle House, yum, yum, the Waffle House, I don't ever eat there, the Waffle House, you know, listen, if they walked in and sat beside me, I wouldn't even know who they, does that make sense? So we all have family like that, you know, and they're just my cousins and so forth. But we are the children of God. So what is your relationship like when it comes to God, our Father, Jesus Christ, or the Holy Spirit? I mean, how do you really know him? How do you know, for example, when you fail? How do you know God the Father? How do you know Jesus is? What intimacy do you have when you say, I have blown it? What intimacy do you have when you find yourself going through horrible times in your life and you, all of a sudden, when you're looking for relief, you don't look to God, you look to the pig pen. And you find yourself in the world's pig pen. What is your relationship like then with God? Do you think he hates you? Do you think he doesn't want anything to do with you? If you have that kind of mindset, then you don't have the right mindset about God. God, our Father, does he love us? Did he send Jesus to die in our place? He loves us so much. Listen, when you find yourself in trouble and you don't know what to do, and there you are, listen, you need to remember this about your relationship with God the Father. He's waiting on you to get out of that pig pen and come back to him. Amen? He is waiting. Matter of fact, he is watching. He's the prodigal father in the parable. Amen? And what does he want to do? He sees you coming. Does he cuss you out when you get home? No, does he punch you in the face? No, he falls upon you. He is weeping. He embraces you. He puts the coat upon you to cover up all of your sin and all of your shame. Now, that's the kind of view. Do you know God that way? If you know Jesus that way and God that way, loved one, that means something. It means that you are doing something right. And I can tell you from Scripture what it is. You are keeping his commandments. Amen? The reason I know that, look at it. Verse 3. By this, or in this, we know, there's that word gnosko, by personal experience, that we know him. How do we know him? If we keep or guard as precious his commandments. So the test for knowing him is not what you say, but it's in what you keep. And look at, there's a word there. There's a conditional phrase. Look at the word if. That's if you do that. If you keep his commandments. Now listen, that is the place, that is the realm where we experience fellowship with Jesus. Amen? Very, very important. Now listen, let's clear something up though. Is John teaching salvation by obedience? No, he's not doing that. We're saved by grace. Amen? However, is obedience an evidence that you're born again? Absolutely. So we know Jesus because there will be evidence in our hearts, evidence in this world that of a transformed life. So when we keep his commandments, by his grace, by the strength of another, okay, by growing in Christ. When we do that, that is the realm where we're following Jesus, and that's where we are experiencing Jesus, and that is also where we experience the adventure of following our Lord, is when we obey his commands. Amen? Oh, listen, let me give you a perfect example. Do you remember when Jesus and Peter, they went to the temple to worship? And there the tax collectors were there to collect temple tax, and they had no money on them. Jesus didn't have any money, and Peter didn't have any money. Do you remember what Jesus told Peter to go do? Okay, one of you. Now, no, let me give you the scripture. He commands Peter to go do something. He commands. This is where you find the adventure of following the Lord. It's when you do what God says to do, okay? Let me give you the scripture. Matthew 17, 27. Jesus tells Peter, well, Peter, listen, nevertheless, we don't want to offend them, meaning the tax collectors. And you certainly don't want to ever offend a tax collector, amen? He says, now here's what I want you to do. Now listen to these commands. Go to the sea, cast in a hook, take the fish that comes up first, and when you have opened the fish's mouth, you will find a piece of money. Take that, give it to them for me and you. Now listen, we read that and we go, okay, if the Lord told me to go down to that creek right now, and you know, you'd find a little frog, and when you opened its mouth, you were going to find $1 million, would you go down there? Would you call that an adventure? Well, some people think scratching a lottery ticket's an adventure. We think so many times that the commands of God are so hard. God's commandments are our enablements, amen? When we get over to 1 John chapter 5, verse 3, where it says this, by this we know, or for this is love for God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. They don't weigh you down. Now, look at verse 4. Another one of those, he who says, okay? He who says, I know him, there's that word gnosko again, I'm experiencing Jesus, and does not keep his commandments, that's a habitual practice, is a what? Is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Now, that will always fill a church, won't it? You teach like that, you know, will that fill a church? Do you want to hear the truth? The truth sets you free, amen? And John is, he's speaking the truth in love right now. He's not beating anybody up. This is God's word. He says, listen, if you don't do that, the truth is not in you, man. You're a liar. So the person that says, no matter who they are, then and today, oh, yeah, man, I'm a Christian. I know Jesus. I'm having a real good time with him. I'm fellowshipping with him every day, but I don't really do anything he says. Well, God says, okay, that's fine, I guess, but you know what? You're a liar. Ooh. And the truth is not in you. The truth has never penetrated your heart. You don't know anything about my truth. In other words, that kind of person is all talk. They have a profession of faith, but they do not possess any faith in Christ. Jesus told us something very profound in Matthew 7:21. He said, not everyone who saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who doeth the will of God. That's a very important word. In other words, what is the will of God? Well, to keep the word of God, amen? And Jesus goes on and he says, and many of you will say to me in that day, meaning the day of judgment, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out many demons in your name, and done many wonderful works in your name? And Jesus will say, depart from me, you doers of lawlessness, for I never knew you, gnosko, I never had a living relationship with you. Oh, I know who you are, but you're not mine. And then in verse 24, he continues, therefore, Jesus says, whoever hears these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house upon the rock, and the storms and the floods and the winds, all that came. But that house didn't fall because it was founded on the rock. Amen? Jesus said in Luke 6:46, he said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, but you don't do any of the things that I ask you to do? In John's day, as we've already learned, the false teachers, the ones that are trying to steal the sheep away here, in John's day, the Gnostics were called the knowing ones, meaning, because that's what they based everything, Gnosis or Gnostics, they were the Gnostics, and they based everything on a supreme knowledge. That's how you're saved. You're not saved by grace, and so we're, but this supreme knowledge, but they never kept the commandments of God. And so it's very important to understand that this morning. Now look at verse 5. He says, but whoever keeps, and there's that word, keeps on keeping on, whoever keeps his word, truly the love, that's agape, the agape of God, is perfected in him. And by this, in other words, by this meaning keeping his word, we know that we are what? In him. Well, that's a very powerful word, loved one. It says here we can know something. If we truly keep his word. Look what God just said. He said in this person, in verse 5, this one right here, truly the love of God, the love of God that comes from heaven, the love of God, he is love. It says, is perfected in that individual. You know, 1 John has really been called the epistle of love. And the reason it has is because John uses the word love or agape 18 times in just these 5 chapters. That's more than any other book in the New Testament. The number 2 book would be 1 Corinthians, where Paul the Apostle uses the word love 14 times. And so he's saying that this love that only God has now, if you do what he tells you to do, it is perfected in you. I'm going to tell you something. That's unbelievable to me. I mean, I think, dear Lord, by keeping God's word, by doing what he says, something happens to the inside, if you will, of that Christian. It says there, look, it says that the love of God has been perfected in us. What does that word perfect mean? It means that it's reached its goal. It's completed its task. It means that when you start obeying the Lord, constantly keeping it, what happens is the love of God just starts growing and growing in you, even though you have it all there. Does that make sense? And that's what he's saying this. So he says, by this, by keeping his word, we know that we are in him, in him. Jesus, when he was speaking to his disciples in John 14, 20 about the day of Pentecost, he says, in that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. That's amazing. I mean, Christianity is literally sharing the life of Jesus Christ. Amen? In other words, the life of the founder, Jesus, is in the life of the follower, you and me. Amazing. Jesus said in John 14, 23, he said, if anyone loves me, not pretends to love me, not professes to love me, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him, and here it is, and we, Jesus and God the Father, he says, will make our home with you. I don't know about you. Is that unbelievable? He says, you're doing what I say. And yes, you're still young. You're growing. Yes, sometimes you mess up. But you know what? You haven't stopped. You keep moving into Christ's likeness. He says, listen, I'm going to come and make my home with you. Loved one, listen to me. Does religion do that? Church membership, does that do that? No. Having a seminary degree, does that do that? How about if you're a big giver? No, it doesn't do that either. It doesn't produce obedience to God. Those are wonderful things, and we need to do those. But only love for Jesus will produce obedience. John 14, 15, Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Let me give you another scripture, John 15, 9. Jesus says, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Now here it comes. Abide in my love. Now he's going to tell us, how do we abide in the love of God? He says, if you keep my commandments, if you value them, if you treasure them, if you obey them, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Wow. How about John 15, 14? Jesus said, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. I think God has many children, but not so many friends. Amen? Think about it for a moment. Listen, you know, the proof of our love is just saying, Lord, we're going to do what you said to do by your strength, by your grace, and by your enablement. James 1:22, we need to be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving our own selves. Amen? Now, look at verse 6. Another he who says. He who says, he abides in him, draws strength from him, lives in him, abides in him, ought himself also to walk just as he walked. too many Christians, they believe, unfortunately, and it's really the fault of the pulpit, too many Christians believe that the goal of Christianity is one thing, really just one thing, making heaven my home. Listen, that's not true. That's not the goal of Christianity. The moment that you ask Jesus Christ, truly ask Him, Lord, be the Lord of my life, you're saved. Amen? Do you instantly become a citizen of heaven? Yes. Is heaven your home? Okay, that's already a done deal, okay? So listen, what he's talking about here is that the true goal of the Christian life, loved one, while we're here on this planet, is to be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ, amen? In other words, Christ-like. That is the goal for every Christian. That's God's goal for you and me. You can look it up, Romans 8:39. And we do so not in our own power. We do by the power of another, 2 Corinthians 3:18. We go from glory to glory to glory by the power of the Holy Spirit as we're being transformed, if you will, into the same image of Jesus Christ. And the reason that you and I can do this is because of Colossians 1:27. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Jesus lives in us, amen? And if Jesus lives in us, there will be evidence that he does. It's just that simple. Okay, I just want to make sure you're with me this morning. Now, so he who says he abides in him, look at the scripture there that we're reading, verse 6. He who says he abides in him ought to walk just as he walked. Now, he who says he abides in him, I want you to just catch this one for a moment. This is more than our spiritual position, if you will, because we do abide in Christ. Amen? We're all one, aren't we? We're the body of Christ. Jesus is the head. To abide in Christ is more than our spiritual position. It is our true living spiritual connection. He's the vine. We're the branch. Man, are we connected to him? Absolutely. That's what it means when we abide in him. Listen, the life of Christ cannot be lived without Jesus. There's no way. Let me give you the scripture, John 15:4. Jesus said, abide in me. Draw strength from me. You're connected to me. This is your living connection. He says, abide in me, I in you, as the branch, and we're the branch, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. I can't bear any fruit from Bill. I have to have the Holy Spirit. Amen? Okay. He says, you cannot bear fruit of yourself unless you abide in the vine. He says, unless you abide in me, I'm the vine. I'm the source of everything you'll ever, ever need. I'm the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, it says, here's the result, bears much fruit. For without me, apart from me, severed from me, you can do nothing. Man, listen, if we're severed from the vine, we have nothing. Amen? We have no power. We have nothing. But we need to always be connected to the vine. That's a living connection. So he says, he who says he abides in him ought himself to walk just as Jesus walked. That means Jesus, his life, and the way he walked, his lifestyle, that is the lifestyle for every believer. Wherever Jesus walked, did he bring victory to other people? Did he bring hope? Did he care? Did he heal? That's what we're to do. We're to walk just like he walked. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. No, that's what we need to be doing as well. But there's a problem. How in the world do we, even we're born again, yes, we have the Holy Spirit, yes, we have the Word of God, yes, but how in the world do we follow in the footsteps of the perfect, sinless Son of the living God? Is that a tall order? Oh, man. There's only one way to walk like Jesus. Okay? One way. Yes, it's through the power of the Holy Spirit, but listen carefully. You can't walk. Let me back up. Do you know anything about actors? Do you know how actors get into their character, right? In other words, they study that individual top to bottom, whoever they're portraying. Amen? Okay, if that person is a little heavy, do they gain weight? Oh, they do everything. They'll do their nose big. I mean, like that Bob Dylan guy, you know what I mean? Put that thing in his nose. Are you following me? Okay, they go through anything. They want to get inside that person. They watch films about that person. Now, this is what that means. If we're going to walk just like Jesus walked, He lives in us, okay? But we're going to have to do something. That means we're going to have to think just like Jesus thinks. Amen?
Well, there's much more to this study, and we encourage you to tune in tomorrow when Pastor Bill will complete this message. We appreciate you listening with us today. May the Lord bless the rest of your day, and so long for now. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.